Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One of our favorites from ESPN, it's Field Yates. Field, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. I feel like when you're asked, like, how you're doing during quarantine, there's, like, a very, like, small spectrum of answers, right? So, like, yeah, I'm doing well. Like, I'm, you know, grateful for health and grateful for progress, but all is going well, all things considered.
Yeah, right. You don't want to be too excited because, you know, things kind of suck a little bit, right? There's always that element of things. Hey, Field, we were referencing your article before that you wrote last week about the potential trade for Ngakoue for the Browns. And, you know, we were talking about different scenarios, and certainly I'd be in favor of the Browns trading for Ngakoue. I would rather, if they're going to make a big trade for Jamal Adams. That'd be my first choice. I even suggested, because the Browns have so much cap space, they should trade for Jamal Adams and still try to sign Clowney to a one-year deal. Where do you think Clowney, Adams, and Ngakoue end up?
Yeah, so I think it's probably important for me to just, I think the audience may know this, but the assignment was, hey, devise five trades that are based upon player-for-player movement.
Right.
This is not reporting. This is not,
sure.
Hey, my sources are telling. This is just, like, what would make sense for the two sides involved? So
sure.
That was the root and the impetus for the Yannick Ngakoue trade. So now to get to the possibility of where Jamal Adams and where Jadeveon Clowney and where Ngakoue end up. I think Jamal Adams stays a Jet. I think he has played his hand dramatically right now. I think that he certainly has made it very clear what he wants. But I don't think he realizes how little leverage he has. Like, what's preventing the Jets from saying, okay, cool, we're going to keep you, right? But there's, like, what is the recourse that Jamal Adams has? He's not going to sit out games. He's not going to miss game checks. He's not going to stop playing, because that's only going to depress his value going forward. So I think he stays with the Jets. I think Jadeveon Clowney is obviously a wild card. I think the Titans make sense in a lot of ways. They have been vocal about their interests. Obviously, the Browns, we know, have legitimate interest in Jadeveon Clowney as well. My question is, if the offer wasn't good enough for Clowney previously, how much time has to pass before it becomes good enough for him? And is that offer contingent upon other factors? And other factors being, like, have the Browns considered, if it's not Jadeveon Clowney, is it Everson Griffin? Is it Marcus Golden? Is it other guys who are paid to rush the passer? And then on Yannick Ngakoue, guys, I don't have any idea on that one, because he has, you know, before Jamal Adams, he was way ahead of the curve and, like, demanding a trade and taking to social media. We've literally seen Tony Khan, who owns the Jaguars and is part of their front office as well, he has responded to Yannick on Twitter. So as much as I think it makes sense to trade Yannick Ngakoue, I don't know how that needle gets moving more than it has to this point. And up to this point, it really hasn't moved. It's a tricky one for Jacksonville. He's, you know, one of their most talented players. At the same time, they're sort of in step one of a rebuild. It probably would be in their best interest to acquire either young players or draft capital going forward.
You mentioned Adams. What is his motive here? Like if he goes back to the Jets, I mean, how does he work with Adam Gase? How does he work with the front office there? I mean, he has certainly been very vocal. Even, you know, he's praising the Patriots for signing Cam Newton, like that's what a real team does, or whatever he said on social media. I mean, this can't go over too well with that organization.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It's like, you know, like, it's one thing if I don't even know what the appropriate situation would be where I would expect a Jets player to applaud the Patriots like on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like the only way that I can imagine a Jets player applauding a the Patriots on Twitter would be if like a Jet was cut and eventually found a new job with the Patriots and it was like your best friend. But that one right there right. sort of illustrates the fact that Jamal Adams is praising the Patriots for signing Cam Newton. It's like I think it illustrates the disconnect there is right now. I think Jamal Adams felt as though he had a hand to play and that he had pocket aces, right? I'm the best player on the Jets. If I demand a trade, like, you know, the court of public opinion is going to sway the Jets' motivation enough. But if you're Joe Douglas right now, this is basically your first monumental decision with the Jets. He's obviously done other things. He signed players in free agency, George Fant, and drafted Mekhi Becton with the 11th pick this past year. But this is the first defining moment of his GM tenure. And if you're Joe Douglas and the first thing you do is acquiesce to a player's desire to get traded because he demanded it, well then what happens when the next Jet gets frustrated and says, you know what?
Right.
It worked for Jamal. Like, I'm just going to do it myself. And I know the Jets don't have a ton of blue chip type players who are in a position to demand a trade like Jamal Adams is. Well, I'm not suggesting this could happen, but what if 2 years from now, Sam Darnold says, trade me. You know, if it worked for Jamal, then maybe it works for me as well. So I think that Jamal Adams' motive and his belief is that, you know, I deserve to be traded or made the richest safety ever. But I don't think the Jets are particularly motivated to take a bad deal. Like, they don't want 50 cents on the dollar for Jamal Adams. He really is their best player in terms of pure talent right now. And for 2 years and some 10 or 13 million bucks for right now, the Jets have a great value on their hands.
We're talking with Field Yates of ESPN. Field, there's been a lot of rumblings about the possibility of the preseason getting cut down to 2 games. We've already seen the Hall of Fame game. Unfortunately, we understand why it was canceled, but it's very unfortunate for the city of Canton. Do you think ultimately there will be 2 preseason games?
I do. I've actually heard from coaches, and not that every coach is 100% informed on what the NFL will ultimately decide to do. The more and more I speak to coaches, the more and more I hear them like referencing 2 preseason games as if that's what they're planning on, as opposed to 4 preseason games. There are a lot of complicating factors. There was talk earlier this offseason about a potential ramp-up period going into camp to basically get players safely acclimated before training camp began. Obviously, we know that right now training camp is going to report that the report date for almost the entire league is July 28th. So that ramp-up period is gone. At the same time, I think it's reasonable. I think we should all be prepared to expect there to be some really complicating things at the beginning of training camp. I mean, we're seeing it right now. Almost every, it feels like every 3 hours, I'm reading a new press release from a professional team in a league that is closer to beginning that talks about, hey, we've got 6 players or 3 players or 1 player that's tested positive for coronavirus. So it's not going to be easy coming out of the gates in training camp. Along those lines, given how I would say sort of manageable and reasonable it is to cut out 2 preseason games, would not stun me at all if they end up playing just 2 preseason games.
Phil, do you think we'll have a season that starts on time? You think we'll have a delay? I mean, like, can we – obviously you're not a doctor and you're not like Nostradamus here, but I mean, from what you've heard, I mean, are people concerned about that?
That is the – I don't even know if it's a million-dollar question. That might be like a billion-dollar question. Here's what I would say. Everybody that I've spoken to that I think is well-informed on the matter has told me, we're planning on it. Like, you better be there on September 10th because the Chiefs are going to play the Texans in Kansas City that night. Fans, probably unlikely. But that's the plan right now. So my mindset, and like I almost have to be – you kind of almost have to be selfish here. Like, for my own responsibilities with what I do at ESPN is like, all right, by, early August, I'm going to be back into the normal swing of things that I am. And I think NFL teams are preparing for this to start on time. I'm starting to wonder if the bigger concern for NFL teams may not be starting on time, but whether we make it through a full season, which I think is a fear that every league is dealing with right now. And I think because the NFL is scheduled to start later than the NBA and the MLB and MLS and NWSL and all the other leagues that are already playing, I think that's what they're realizing is one of the great fears here, is that We might be able to start on time, but if we can't finish this season, how much of a step backwards is that? Because is it even worth it if you can't finish the season? And that's a question that nobody has the answer to, and we, I hope, don't have to live through, but we need to at least brace for the possibility of.
Field Yates of ESPN. Field, to that point, right, you're a big fantasy football guy. You do a podcast. I'm a big fantasy football guy as well. And, you know, I'm a commissioner in a couple of my leagues, and we are beginning the process in my leagues of having conversations about, hey, if the season ends up being this many weeks, do we count the season? Especially, you know, in a keeper league where there's contracts and stuff like that, adding roster spots. What is your game plan, Field? I don't know if you're a commissioner in any league, but what are you adding roster spots in your leagues? What would your advice be to fantasy football fans?
Yeah, expand rosters. It's really the only solution I can think of right now. Only solution that I can think of that I think must be implemented, because you have to expand roster spots, because what if it just, but you don't want to be stuck in a, I mean, listen, it's fantasy football. I don't want to make this life and death, obviously, but it's something that we all take seriously and we certainly feel very passionately about. But I think you have to expand rosters so that people aren't stuck in crunches where, like, you know, one of their very best players has, you know, unfortunately contracts coronavirus, and next thing you know, they don't want to drop that player, but they have a, you know, no room on their bench to put him there because they have bye weeks that complicate it, or whatever the circumstances might be. So, yeah, I think expanding the bench is the most obvious normal or natural solution to some of these problems that could very well arise during the season. You know, I'm a commissioner of a basketball league, and we had like a 2.5-week email chain of like, what to do? Do we count this past season, or do we just basically say, all right, everybody, you know, good job for those that completed basically 80% of the season, fantasy regular season, and we'll see you again next year. So I know it's people are saying, like, is this really your primary concern? And the answer is no, of course not. We were concerned about everybody's health and well-being, but people love fantasy football, yes, and I do think that's going to be something that people have to address.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think anybody needs to apologize for loving fantasy football, right? It's important.
Not in my eyes.
Right? It's part of the reason why the sport is so popular, is because it's the best fantasy sport. You know, gambling and fantasy are big factors into why the NFL is as popular as it is, I think.
Of course. I can't tell you the number of people that I speak to, whether it's people that I happen to see in public or just fans or friends, even friends that I haven't seen necessarily for a while. And I would say that, like, most roads lead back to fantasy football conversations. It grabs the non-vested interest fans and makes them interested, right? So Thursday night, and you've got the Raiders playing the Redskins, and it's like, okay, I don't, you know, I'm from you know, Chicago, like, I don't have an interest in either one of these teams, but I am starting, you know, Henry Ruggs in my league this weekend, or I am starting, you know, Darius Geis in my league this weekend. So I do want to watch this game on Thursday night. I want to watch it very closely. That's the beauty of fantasy football, is it's created this massive new audience to not just love the teams that they root for because of their allegiances from their hometown, but also all the players that I think have really stood to benefit from the rising popularity they've seen as a result of fantasy football.
Phil, we appreciate it, man. Great stuff. Thanks for joining us.
Good catching up as always, guys, and stay well, and hopefully we're talking about football a whole lot more over the next month.
That's right. You too, Phil. Phil Yates of ESPN.
Awesome. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.